There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Anal swaps? What is this, some kind of gay pirate ship?
Honestly.
Let's start this show. Travis, if you don't mind, can you, we need some renaissance, like we need a loot atmosphere.
Ooh.
Right now. I just want everybody to get into the mindset because today we are traveling back to a more innocent time.
Oh, fun. 1983. Okay.
But let's start with a poem. This is a selection from John Greenleaf Whittier.
Why are you? Okay.
Lute music go.
What?
Far away in the twilight time of every people in every clime. Dragons and griffins and monsters dire. Born of water and air and fire. Are nursed like the python in the mud. And ooze of the old Deucalion flood crawl and wriggle and foam with rage through dusk, tradition, and ballad age. Ah, the age of the dragons.
Boom!
We're not talking about dragons. We're not talking about dragons at all. We're not talking about dragons. I'm not going to be mentioning a single fucking dragon this entire show.
Pantera! Get off the stage, poet!
I wrote a poem about Lambelwim!
Welcome to the last podcast on the left, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry and hanging out with Marcus. We have actually, I think, set a record for a three-person fight. We got in there before I actually introduced the show, and apparently, Henry, you're full of lies, and we're not actually going to be talking about the creatures that you said we were going to be talking about.
If I looked at this outline correctly,
you did not.
Literally, dog meat mentions eight dragons. This is full on dragon territory.
I call none of them dragons. The only thing that shares what I wrote with what you just read is the word water.
Dragons. All right. Well, we'll see.
I'm going to see. We're going to let the audience decide.
This is a very special occasion where the audience gets to decide something. So today's story, we are so excited to talk about Lake Monsters.
Yes. What kind of dragon are you, Kissel?
I want to be the dragon. I want to be the dragon from the never-ending story, except for the very end.
So you want to be the happy dragon, except for the very end when he commits? They all commit fucking suicide of imagination.
Never-ending story is one of the saddest movie conclusions in the history of movie conclusions. And then it ends with the grandfather, Mr. Falk. Evidently, he's a former detective. He's got a whole series of skeletons in his closet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'd say Marcus is the cockatrice, and I'm the bunyip.
What's the bunyip?
It's a dragon.
The bunyip?
Yep.
All right. Sounds like it wears a sweater that Roseanne would wear in the 1990s.
This is great.
Bunyip. Remember that? Fun shirts. All right.
No dragons, no wings in the entire series.
Oh, does the wings make it a dragon?
No. Because Japanese dragons don't have wings.
Well, then what makes it a dragon?
Scales. And also the sheer fact that none of them exist.
Oh! All right, let's get into it. Lake Monsters!
Now, in the world of cryptozoology, lake monsters hold a special place in the hearts of those who believe. While other branches of cryptozoology, like Bigfoots and Chupacabras, can be pretty heavy on the hustle, the study of lake monsters, known as drakentology to some, isn't quite so crude.
I don't know if we need the term branches. When I think about branches, I think the FBI, the CIA,
things that have large societies are involved, they are big, they have PayPal accounts, they have their own custom emails.
So if I called Crypto 100, 1-800 Crypto, I would get sent to different branches within.
Yeah.
Press 1 if you've seen a dog with mange.
No, I have not seen that.
Press 2 if you have found a footprint in the forest.
No, I have not seen that.
Press 3 if you saw a shadow in a lake, fucking idiot.
No, actually.
Press 4. Is it a rock? Check again. Press 5.
It was a rock, yeah.
Maybe you need to call your wife.
because she might be dead.
This is actually what I was calling about. Is this not the how to get away with murder hotline?
But the truth is that in our estimation, the Bigfoots and the Chupacabras communities, they're much more pent up on getting, they want a Bigfoot. Like the Bigfoot
people, they are horny for it.
We already saw in Oklahoma, they set up an actual Bigfoot hunting season, right? The goal is to trap and release a Bigfoot. But
to be fair, it's sponsored by Keystone Light. I mean, no one's going to find a Bigfoot.
It honestly sounds like it's a Doritos Super Bowl commercial, just like so right there. But yeah. And the Chupacabras, technically, we found a Chupacabra. Not what? That long ago. What they said was a Chupacabra. But it was a dog.
That's just my adopted dog, Jerry. Yeah, we've never actually seen a Chupacabra, right?
They said that they have found things that resemble the attitude, behavior, and description of a Chupacabra.
Okay, that's close enough.
Well, you've got all the carcasses that have supposedly been killed by chupacabras. You have the pigs and such that have the holes in the neck and all the blood drained out, which points towards a creature of which we have no explanation for.
But it's a creature, dog with a tiny mouth.
And by creature, you mean Homer Simpson.
He's not real. It's a cartoon. None of that was real. Do you think it's real?
He's talking about how he likes to eat pig.
I like to eat pig. Your friend who's in front of you likes to eat pig.
You're not real.
Wow.
You're not freaking real.
That's so scary. It's so scary. But the lake monsters of all of them seem to be so particularly faith-based.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Is that Drakeontologists, instead of being about the hustle, they seem to be in it for the passion. They refuse money from tabloids for their cherished photos of Ogopogo or Champ so as to not sully what they obviously believe is a magical yet unsettling experience.
It's got to be scary to see a big eel.
Absolutely. Especially Ogopogo. It sounds like it has face paint on like a clown. Horrifying. Cool.
Others hold their experience with lake monsters so dear that they will sue anyone who dares even write about their own personal lake monster. And even our dear friend, if you'll remember, even our dear friend Kevin Barnett would talk about plesiosaurs with a passion that bordered on the fanatical.
Wait, are they not real?
No, they're real.
Okay, good. No. I was going to say, because I believed everything that Kevin ever told me. If I found out that was fake, then I'd have to go dig up his grave and yell at him.
I felt Kevin move through me this week as I was reading about dragons. That's what
lake
this
monsters.
Is about.
Lake
this
monsters.
This is
lake
KB. Monsters. No, it's dragons. Today,
dragons.
The cool thing you can call, I think it's cool you can call them dragons.
What would Kevin call them?
He would call them lake monsters or plesiosaurs. He would actually call them plesiosaurs. He would actually be offended that you referred to them as dragons.
Trick question. Kevin is so smart, he would call it whatever you thought was the right thing to call it when having conversations with you in order to win you over and then slowly manipulate you and take all the money. That's why he's brilliant. Just like Nixon.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Barnett was just like Nixon.
In a loving way.
Well, even the hoaxes involving lake monsters often aren't done for the love of money. Instead, the history of lake monsters is peppered with bands of merry pranksters who have no desire other than the inclination to cause chaos in sleepy lake communities.
And then in the aftermath of their chaos, they create these sort of mascots. All of these different lake monsters, different than all of the, because, there's a Bigfoot for every region. There's a lake monster for every region. But the lake monsters, they kind of, for the locals that are around the lake monsters, seem to really represent the spirit of what it's like to live in Lake Champlain. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everybody loves wallowing in the mud and eating mollusks. That's what they love. That's what they celebrated in a demoted lake.
Well, I think you've just described the life of a turtle, but yeah, I suppose so.
If you are a person that wants to live like a turtle, technically you've just become Terry Schiavo.
Oh, turtley. Question, though, when it comes to these entities, because they are mythical, can you infer more sort of attributes to them than your average cryptid? Because with an alien, we have a set standard of rules.
Yes.
Cryptid somewhat, but it seems like these lake monsters, you could make them even a socialist.
Yeah, some of them are kind of folks.
Yeah. But the most interesting thing about lake monsters is that while they arguably kicked off the modern age of cryptozoology when Nessie first reared her head in 1933, they are also the cryptids least likely to exist.
And Marcus actually knows that Nessie was a woman. He saw her vagina. And he was in there and he's punching at it. He's not allowed back in Scotland.
Honestly, because Loch Ness Monster's got a clit the size of a corn cob. You can really get your hands around it.
Hello, I've seen that tape before.
But there are no dermal ridges like we have with Bigfoot, nor are there any carcasses like we have with Chupacabra. Instead, the majority of evidence with lake monsters involves a person seeing a thing and taking a picture from really far away.
Why are they never close?
Because they're never that close to, because the monsters are being safe.
Are the monsters more scared of us than we are of them, perhaps?
They shouldn't be. They're much bigger. They're monsters. They are monsters.
I watched The Cove. They should be. We don't exactly treat our wildlife that swims very well.
Honestly, no. That would be a horror movie to a bunch of whales if they just watched The Cove.
Yeah.
They knew.
Absolutely.
They
do, it's a horror movie for humans.
That's why whales are always screaming.
But while those pictures would be unrecognizable as anything biological unless given context, the people who say they've seen lake monsters believe in what they think they saw with every fiber of their being and defend their position without any doubt as to what they experienced.
All right, I will say these are officially cryptozoologists because they will utter the sentence, I know what I saw!
I know what I saw! Well, so, you know, maybe they did have something close to an anomalous experience. Who knows? I think, you know, also, you see a very, very big carp. It might throw you for a loop. If you're not ready to see a 9-foot carp.
No, I'm
and
never.
And you don't know you're about to see a 9-foot carp and you've got fucking schedules in your head. You've got 9 abortions to do that morning.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot in the morning.
You can't be focusing and thinking about all these carps. You bundle them up in the morning so you can do them before lunch.
Oh, yeah. you give a nice healthy lunch.
Yeah, you big old. That's how you have a nice pasta vajoule right after you get your morning abortions done.
Right.
You're the one
getting the 9 abortions. You're not giving them.
Yeah, because I got pregnant 9 times. And one go because I separated my
mom plus one. Wow.
But, you know, you're not so who knows? Maybe it has an astounding effect on you, and now you want the whole world to feel the same wonder and amazement that you experienced in that moment.
And of course, we know nothing. I mean, we know a bit more about the lakes because they ain't as deep as the ocean, but we still don't know much about the unexplored world of water.
I don't know a single thing about lakes.
They're wet. They are wet.
But before we get into the subject deeper, let's acknowledge our sources. The first is Lake Monsters by Benjamin Radford, Lauren Coleman, and Joe Nickel. Joe Nickel, he's the quintessential humorless skeptic in a tan vest who delights in spoiling good times.
Which one do you think out of those three did all the work to write the book?
Benjamin Radford's the hype man. You know, Benjamin Radford, someone's got to be out there to be funny, make the voices, do all the shit.
Yeah.
Lauren Coleman, that person is another central person. They're the voice of the audience. You know what I mean?
Oh,
they respond and listen as if they're listening
like
for the first time. See,
I don't
like
it.
See, that's great.
I'm not liking it.
And then the fucking pleasureless Nickel is the guy who sits and does quote unquote all the fucking work. You know what I mean?
Well, the writing and such.
Mm.
Yeah. It's unfortunate his book tour was canceled.
It's gonna get it out.
Yeah, it is nice.
The other book is Abominable Science by Daniel Loxton and Donald Prothero, which, while it is a debunking book, it's still done with love for the passion put forth by cryptozoologists, all while looking at the fascinating origins of our favorite cryptids.
Abominable Science, that's also what the Bush administration called stem cell research. Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm. Is this a deep cut? As a very strange fringe political joke.
No, it wasn't. That's not that fringe. It's a very famous joke.
It is a nearly 20-year-old reference.
Okay. I'm just being clear.
I was just trying to bring in the fact that I was talking about. I brought in that.
See, I was going to say, because Marcus accidentally said abominable science, but there is not a single person with a visible ab in any of these books.
Okay.
I'm going to see.
So both of us just hit it out of the park.
Yep. That's why we're here.
And of course, for the believer side, I delved once more into the Loch Ness Monster chapter in my Mysteries of Mind, Space, and Time collection, which I must say is one of the most half-hearted chapters of the entire series.
Why?
People are deflated and sad about Loch Ness. Yeah, they are sad about him and her.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, I'm about to tell you exactly why.
Please, because it's very famous.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to talk lake monsters, we would be remiss if we didn't start with the most infamous lake monster of all time. The biggest and most famous cryptid that we have yet to cover here on the show.
Choose wisely.
What's it going to be?
Jack Nicholson on a sub eating a sub. Jack Nicholson on a boat eating a Subway sandwich.
That is my favorite. Like,
I had to go through a series of people, but then I was like, oh, they'll be mad at me. They'll respect that person. But Jack Nicholson, because he's doing so well, eating a sandwich on a boat. That's my kind of sea monster.
It's my favorite.
Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, okay. Oh, this guy.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to a location where a cryptid might live, it's hard to do better than Loch Ness. Loch Ness is the largest body of freshwater in all of Britain, and other than a few vacationing middle-class Englishmen, it was largely unspoiled until 1933, when some of the loch's surrounding forest was cleared away to give easier access.
And a sum of Loch Ness's entire situation was ruined by next week's topic, which I'm actually very excited for, about how what is...
We're going to cover deforestation. We're going to talk about what's going on in Brazil right now.
No, that's like season 25 of last podcast and left, where it's just talking about how like bugs are also kind of evil and wind grass attacks.
I love that. I can't wait to read the bugs are also kind of evil script. That'll be great.
Some organs look weird.
Yeah, they
describe the stomach.
Yikes, weird.
Furthermore, Loch Ness is not a singular body of water. The River Ness connects the loch to the sea, which conveniently gives Loch Ness believers an excuse when people ask why Nessie isn't being constantly spotted by the hundreds of thousands of observers who have been coming to the loch since the 30s.
He goes out the back door!
Oh, I see.
He's got a big door, that's where he gets.
Well, he's got to. Everyone's trying to punch its vagina like Marcus Parks did.
I did not
punch the Loch Ness Monster's vagina.
Oh, you would if you could. I know you would.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know that about him.
However, people do tend to see something out there with fair regularity, and there's a reason for that. The loch's waters are often terribly calm, and the high shorelines cast shadows and reflections that cause small objects like birds and small animals like otters to appear much larger than they really are.
What does the otter do?
Swims, eats.
That's it? Okay.
You've seen him, he puts the blocks of the different shapes in the proper slots.
Yeah, I just don't know how an otter survives other than like for fun on Instagram.
Turning tricks.
It's a sex worker of the lake world.
Oh my.
In addition, wakes from boats passing through the loch, of which there are many, can be reflected from the shores to form a standing wave in the center of the loch long after the boat has passed out of sight, which could easily be mistaken for the wake of a large creature swimming underwater.
And it also has a lot of like weird channels underneath it. It has it's got a weird bottom to it where they say that things can hide or whatever. But it does seem to be, more than anything, every time they've taken pictures of what could be, there's a recent picture of a Loch Ness actually that came out like several months ago that came out, but it was a big fish.
Well, that's but it's fun if you just call it a Loch Ness Monster. And what's the difference?
That's what I mean. Now you're getting on my page.
Yeah, honestly, the water is still full of the scariest of all the creatures, as far as I'm concerned.
If you call it a tuna sandwich, it becomes a tuna sandwich.
That's what Subway did.
Now, Scotland is full of lochs, just like Loch Ness, some so deep that the Eiffel Tower could be dropped to the depths and the tip wouldn't even break the surface.
Whoa, Carmen Sandiego.
What? Wait, is she in the Eiffel Tower under the ocean?
That's where she put it.
Wait,
I don't know.
Carmen Sandiego, you were trying to find Carmen Sandiego. I don't think that she had anything. Did she have anything?
She would steal the important historical figures and landmarks.
That's why you were trying to find Carmen Sandiego.
I thought she was just a missing person.
What do you think? She thought that she was just like guilty of rape or something?
Like Roman Polanski. I don't know. I thought everyone was just trying to find Carmen Sandiego. I honestly was like, someone kidnapped her. Like, what is she from Utah? Like, what's going on?
Wow, you missed the whole point of that show.
What was honestly, what documentation did they have? Did
she would say like, ha, ha, ha. They'd see her in her helicopter lifting up the Eiffel Tower going, ha, yeah. ha, ha, ha.
So she was evil.
Yeah, she was the villain.
Wow. A cappella sang the theme song.
I remember that.
Well, because there are so many lochs in Scotland, the Scottish, like many folk who develop societies around large bodies of water, have a plethora of folklore involving terrifying water monsters. Most disturbing is the shape-shifting Kelpie, also known as Ek Ukia, which roughly translates in English as water horse.
Whoa.
I wonder why they went with Kelpie as opposed to...
it's something Scottish. Scottish has old language. They don't think they have Gaelic. Is it the same as Gaelic?
I mean, they're that... that's Gaelic. That is definitely Gaelic.
Okay.
No, that's not the Gaelic I know.
Wow. Sasha Gray, we're here. We're ready to be guests on your show.
39 and holding.
Well, ironically, water horses are always encountered on land and can be identified by the seaweed tangled up in their mane and their wet skin. If an unsuspecting or foolish soul decides to climb upon this mystery horse, they would find that the water horse's skin is also highly adhesive.
Whoa, sticky horse!
That is not a game you want to play with your grandfather.
And the water horse will gallop straight into the loch, taking the stuck and screaming victim down to the depths where they meet a horrific death by drowning.
I know what I saw! Wow.
Look at that guy over there molesting that horse to death.
Wow, that is horrible. Really, I cannot think of a worse fate. So do you die from the drowning, or do you die from them destroying your entire body?
In this fantasy, you die from drowning. But it does sound like what could have happened is they got by a boa constrictor, and you could call a big snake a water horse, if we're getting into creative names for things that we don't understand.
Call it a freaking anaconda.
I don't think they ever had boa constrictors or anacondas in Scotland.
I don't know if they have jungle snakes in the lochs. I don't know
what they have over there.
Something can get wandered over there, because then you think about maybe during the Roman times when they spread deep into the Anglo-Saxon territory, they could have accidentally have brought with them various exotic animals and littered them throughout these areas. This is actually a theory that I now in my Starbucks addled brain, I actually think
it's literally Noah's Ark.
I think it's just a lesson that's don't get on a strange horse.
What?
I would never touch a horse.
That was the light horse. Wait, that's the lesson you got out of this?
Well, specifically, the water horse targets children by pretending to be tame and gentle.
Come on, kids. What you doing? You playing a game? I'm a fun talking
You know, it's
horse.
Weird that you have that to try to attract me, a child. It's the most creepy thing I could...
I've ever seen.
No, I don't like that voice at all.
Oh, yeah, come on, get on me, long child.
All right.
Well, the water horse's back will all actually lengthen to accommodate as many children as are present.
Oh.
Then, once all of them are glued on tight, the water horse speeds them to their doom.
Sweet. Honestly, there's so many kids in Scotland. Yeah. And in these areas, they have a lot of kids.
I mean,
sometimes it's good to have someone to take out like 8 in one go. You gotta help the town have enough corn.
Get this thing some training. Make it a bus driver. Why not? The kids are already on there. That'll be kind of a fun way to show up to school until you have to unstick yourself from the sea serpent and you probably will lose the back of your pants.
Honestly, we're really building out our cryptid high school pitch right now.
Cryptid high school.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, in one folktale featuring the water horse, one of the children actually cuts off all of his fingers in a bid to escape. Fingerless, he then watches as all of his friends are carried off into the water, which of course makes him the one who survives to tell the tale.
I was training to play the harp.
Oh, that's really sad.
Now I've got to use my feet and my dick.
Yep, you're going to have to become a drummer.
Strangely, many water horse stories are very similar to vampire folklore. Sometimes, a water horse will take the form of a man or a woman, then shapeshift into a horse instead of a bat when it comes time to eat the victim alive.
That's scarier than a bat.
Yeah, yeah, why would they scarier. Ever? Why would they ever be a bat?
There's something terrifying about just like Kissel standing above my bed, just being like, "I got lost going to the refrigerator," and then all of a sudden he morphs into a horse.
Yeah,
that's scary as fuck.
You'd be like,
and
get
then
on,
starts
I'm
eating you alive.
Get on, I'm sticky.
I think a horse eating you's actually got to be fucking painful.
Yeah. Oh, you're gonna want to hop on me now. I'm sticky.
Okay, good. Better get out there while the stick is fresh.
Yeah.
There's actually even a water horse story in which the creature shapeshifts into a horse and chases his victim all the way back home, but is unable to enter because, like the vampire, he must be invited inside before he can cross the threshold.
Interesting.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this would be great for horse girls. Wouldn't they want to turn into a big... Dude, horse girls...
What's a horse girl?
They're girls that are... They normally have very long hair. And they are obsessed with horses. In school, I'm surprised you didn't see some because you were from farm areas.
Well, we had cows. Oh, someone who does...
someone who's obsessed. Like, girls that are obsessed with horses. A lot of the times, they're particular.
Right.
They're an interesting bunch. Lonely. Loving horses. The solitary nature of horses. They're the only ones that the horses can understand. The horse is the only thing that they can understand. My question is that, like, do they want to turn into a horse or do they just want to have sex with one?
Well, it seems like their perfect man would be a centaur.
Ooh. I do know some horse girls who had the experience of riding horses all the time were quite fond of riding the horse.
Well, a lot of times.
If you know what I mean.
Wink, 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 wink. That's what happens when you tell a woman, better get in. Water horse is sticky.
Well, that's the only reason they get away with all the bestiality. No one can see it happening. This is ridiculous. Double standards.
What?
They can ride the horse. I say, oh, she's just really, she's into charcuterie. What's that called when you ride?
She'd have to ride the horse upside down. She'd have to grip onto its
That's what they do.
Like she was hugging it.
What's that thing? What do you call that when you play with the horses all the time? It's not charcuterie. That's a meat and cheese board.
Charcuterie. I am just.
No, that's a meat and cheese board.
What is it called? I don't think there's a word.
I don't think there's a word. No, there is a word.
With horses all the time.
Mitt Romney's wife does it.
Oh, you're talking about dressage.
Visage.
You're talking about dressage.
Dressage.
Jesus Christ.
That's fancy horse walking. That's not
that's what
fancy
I said.
Horse walking. No. That's it.
Those horses might be sticky. We don't know. Well,
you said, what's the word for when you play with horses all the time?
That's what it is.
I gotta stop.
They get paid a lot of money to do that. The horses get paid to be
in March,
stroked by those people.
Guys, just so you know, in March, we'll have been doing Last Podcast and Left for 10 years.
Oh my God.
And I think that's the dumbest you've sounded.
No, I don't think so. Years. Kevin loved horses. He had Horse Illustrated.
Oh, don't make me sad.
Yeah. Well, concerning their ubiquity, stories about water horses were told in Scandinavia, Siberian Russia, Italy, and Eastern Europe. And one explorer of the Americas in 1535 heard natives tell a story of a fish shaped like a horse that wandered land by night searching for victims.
Can I ask something? If it's a fish that's shaped like a horse, can we just go ahead and call it a fucking horse?
Yeah, because it's on land.
It's a horse.
Does it have a fish head?
When it's in the water, it's a fish. And when on land, it's a horse.
That's pretty
cool.
But
how do you refer to it?
A fashorsh.
Ooh, a shorsh. That's scary. And you have to, even if you're sober, you'll be like, I saw the shorsh. You'll be like, he's hammered.
All right, he's hammered. No, the shorsh you went to the west.
I know.
The shorsh you go to the west.
But even though many have cited the water horse as a precursor to the Loch Ness monster, stories of the water horse were not specific to Loch Ness and were in fact told anywhere in Scotland where the population lived near a large body of fresh water. However, there is one story specific to that area of Scotland that supposedly occurred in the 6th century that many point to as a possible proof that Nessie-like creatures have been living in or near Loch Ness for centuries. According to Christian legend, a saint by the name of Columba was traveling through North Scotland and came across a group of heathens who were burying a friend who'd been killed by a water monster while he was swimming across the River Ness.
Oh, hello, I'm Saint Columba. One more thing. Hello, that's a Columbo reference, which brings us up to 1989. One
Second
more
of the
thing.
Show.
Yeah, I love Columbo.
Oh, we all do. We will also get into the stories of saints one day, because saints are some of the, because,
well, you know, in the Catholic Church, they keep a saint's bone in that, in the big, in the table up. It's fucking creepy, man.
Oh yeah.
No, I got a whole book on it. It's called Heavenly Bodies. It's fucking great.
It's a fucking cult, the Catholic Church, obviously, but they, the saints are very interesting because they are, I kind of view them as the old school version of superheroes.
Yeah.
Where
that's
they do
entirely
a lot of
fair.
They have these kind of stories that are attached to them. Meanwhile, I just think that, like, you became a saint by paying for it.
Yeah.
At one point.
I think it's like being a duchess or a diplomat or something.
Also, am I supposed to call some guy who's a sir in another country here, sir?
No, we're like, Americans.
If I meet fucking Anthony Hopkins, who I would call, I would call sir.
No, but you just say out of the polite colloquialism,
but do
say
I
sir.
I won't get arrested if I don't call some fucking piece of shit who's some fake thing somewhere else here.
Because
he doesn't have a lance. He doesn't have a sword.
I wouldn't call Paul McCartney sir.
No.
Oh, definitely not.
I call him Mr. McCartney.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Or Paul, because he'd probably be cool enough to call him Paul.
Oh, he'd love that.
Yeah, my father was Mr. McCartney. And you're like, hey,
I don't know.
And then, like, next thing you know, you got no clothes on. He's doing a dermatological fucking test on you or whatever.
Oh,
but hey, man, whatever the sir wants, you know?
That's an old sticky horse of a different kind.
Well, Columba, when he came upon these heathens, he saw an opportunity to flex his magical Christian powers and maybe convert a few Scottish heathens in the process. So he began his string of miracles that day by laying his staff across the dead man's chest, and he brought him back to life.
Whoa! I like them apples. I'm from Boston.
I actually love those apples. Thank you.
Then Columba ordered his fellow monk, Lugni Mokumen, to swim across the river and fetch a boat on the other side, putting his so-called friend right in the path of the deadly monster and continuing the long line of Christian stories where people are told to do horrible and dangerous things just so someone can prove a point.
It's also the lifetime fate of the intern.
Yeah.
He is always just sacrificed for the good of the saints.
Well, absolutely. How else are we going to know if you could swim across this lake that has a massive demon in it? Unless you try.
Hey, especially if you're giving college credit.
Yeah, why not? And if you die, we'll get another one of you.
Yeah, you're all the same.
Yeah.
So Brother Lugni did what he was told and began swimming across the river. Suddenly, the water beast emerged and swam towards the monk, roaring with jaws wide open and the intent to kill the monk just as he had the heathen.
I'm just trying to say hi!
That's the saddest part about being a monster or a dragon, is that people can't take your hugs with pleasure.
Every time I say I love you, I burn you to a crisp.
Oh my God, Kissel, is that the real you speaking?
Yeah, it was. I had to kill it. Took it to the backyard and killed it.
But at that moment, Columba stepped to the edge of the river, made the sign of the cross, and invoked the name of the Lord, telling the beast that it shall go no further and that it must leave at once.
Did it work?
The great monster, then no more than a few feet away from slaughtering Columba's companion, suddenly stopped and fled, moving backwards as if it had suddenly been pulled back by ropes tied to its body.
Cool. Okay.
Brother Lugna was able to retrieve the boat unharmed, and according to Columba's biography, the heathens praised him, gave glory to the God of Christians, and were baptized then and there in the waters of the River Ness.
Hell yeah, if you dig this Lake Monster expulsion, you want to like and subscribe. Here to the power of Jesus Christ.
Let me ask you this, though. If St. Columba wasn't there, would Lugni have swam in the river? No.
No.
Yeah, of course not, because it's really stupid to do.
Because he didn't have the idea to do it, and it took his boss to have the idea for him to put his life in danger to discover the monster.
What if it didn't work? What if he just got eaten by the fish?
Unfortunately, you would have to go back through, you'd have to go back to the local university, and you have to put up flyers saying you're looking for interns.
How many times?
Meet all of these people and explain to your wife that you're trying to have sex with these interns. Mm. Like, all of this is just normal. Like, this is just perfunctory. You're actually using these as sacrifices for lake monsters. And hopefully she sees that.
That's the thing with a saint. How many times did this not work out? And then he was like shunned from a village. We don't know.
Oh, dude, this wasn't Columba's only miracle.
He had a hell of a resume. He calmed storms. He turned water to wine. He summoned water from a stone. He comforted a weeping horse. He enchanted a stick so animals...
That ain't a miracle. I've done that.
I don't know what the hell that is. Would you just fucking stroke it off? Like, how do you comfort a weeping horse?
That's
like,
maybe why it was crying in the first place. I don't know if you want to re-trigger it.
Yeah, why was it crying? How do you know a horse is crying?
There's tears coming out of its eyes.
Yeah, it was. That's what the miracle was. It was double miracle because, like, wow, that horse is crying. This is weird. And then St. Columba went over and made the horse stop crying when no one else could keep the horse from, sobbing and, weeping and wailing and such.
Give it a massage or something? Do the fucking...
I have no idea how you make a horse not... Maybe peanut butter.
Yeah.
Animals love peanut butter.
They do. Every animal does.
Truly.
And the human animal most of all.
Indeed.
Yeah. And Columba also enchanted a stick so animals were compelled to impale themselves upon it, and he once banished a demon that lurked in a milk pail.
Hate that milk pail demon. I actually had that happen to me the other day. This is how fascinating my life is.
Really?
I had milk. No, Kissel, look at
Why
me.
Are you
I had, no, listen
me.
To me. I had milk the other day that was supposed to go back on February 7th, and then some devil went into this milk and made it go bad. Listen to me.
Did you leave it outside the refrigerator?
Shut up. Listen to the rest of my story. Okay. By February 2nd,
wow,
this milk was bad.
Yeah, was there a temperature drop with the milk? Was there anything bad with the milk to begin with? Also, maybe it was best used if not opened by the 7th.
Yeah, or just a misprint.
That's a pretty big misprint, though, to be fair, Marcus.
It's a big misprint.
It is, but these things happen.
They do happen.
Where are these so-called saints to help me now?
Well, you have decided to turn your back on any saint because of your...
I don't need their help.
Your religion.
You see that? How I'm defensive about both of them. How I wasn't offered
you're not
their
have
help
any
so I could say no.
Then you get no fresh milk.
At least offer for me some kind of saint. You're supposed to offer the devil's advocate some form of help. And then I go, no, I rebuke you. Like, that's what it's supposed to be. And it never happens.
No.
Yep.
Sorry. I'm sorry, everyone.
I want it to happen for you. We have to get you into the Catholic Church. And again, you're far too hairy and you weren't molested as a boy. And I just don't see the way in.
I guess I'll have to be molested now.
You can't be.
Now, as far as Loch Ness itself goes, it's been the site of many a prank long before the Loch Ness Monster. In 1868, a crew captured and killed a 6-foot-long bottlenosed whale and threw it into the loch, drawing large crowds and causing a stir before the seamen admitted what they'd done.
TV used to be easier.
Yeah, I guess so.
Besides pranks, there are also misidentifications. In 1852, a rowdy crowd of country folk were so frightened by a creature swimming in the loch, which they thought was a kelpie, that the whole town gathered on the shore with hatchets, scythes, pitchforks, and in the case of one woman, a medieval flail.
Holy shit, I'll finish in my closet!
Yeah, what were you using that for?
Nothing.
Nothing? Okay.
But just as the head of the mob raised the rifle he'd brought so he could shoot the quote-unquote kelpie, the quote-unquote monster came into focus. As it turned out, the creature was just a pair of ponies who had inexplicably swum across the lake.
Okay, so everyone's
who's
out there
the
ready
real
to,
monster now?
They're all ready to kill this monster. They think that the water horse is in there, going to kill him, and they all show up like, we'll get the monster, we'll get it. And then they look, and they just see two ponies drown.
Did they drown?
Nothing?
Did the ponies drown?
No, they made it across.
They
swam a full mile. Horses can swim.
Honestly, that's incredible.
That's just, but still, I guess then you're just watching the horses swim and then you're just like,
waiting for the monster to show up.
It's like, hey, why did we all jump in and... Honestly, why have we been using this lock? That's the one thing about being close to this lock. Everybody says, oh, I want to be close to the lock. Oh, yep, I want to be close. But then do you use it? Do you ever just sit and use it at some point, man? Do you ever go down to the lock and you try and enjoy it around?
We've arrived in Jamaica.
Wow, what a Disney around the world. In linguistics,
I'm
that
the
was.
First Jamaican Disney princess.
That's really incredible. Very good.
But in 1930, the legend of the monster began to take shape. Three young anglers, as they were called in an article written at the time, experienced an encounter with some sort of underwater phenomenon. From their reports, these boys heard the sound of something thrashing about in the water, and they saw splashing and foam about 600 yards away.
I'm just hanging out here, trying to find friends.
man, man your size very well could have been considered a lake monster at the time. Just that tall, that height with those bog people, they'd look at you as you were.
They
like,
were unhealthy.
You would look like, yeah. Oh, it's like, have you seen the tail of the racing bear?
Well, suddenly, the whatever it was came straight towards the boys, but turned to the right when it was about halfway there. Now, this story, it's a bit of a dud. It's just like, it's a fine story. But despite it being the first known report of a mysterious something hiding in Loch Ness, it did not capture the public imagination, mainly because it is kind of a dud.
Yeah, right. They just saw a thing and then they maybe didn't see the thing.
They got to cut off one of their feet and then say that it ate one of their feet.
Yes.
They got to really go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, they got to sell it.
Yeah.
The capturing of the public's imagination wouldn't happen for another 3 years when the Inverness Courier printed an article with this eye-catching headline: Strange Spectacle on Loch Ness. What was it?
Cool!
A picture of just some fat Scottish guy just nude on the beach waving.
Hi!
No one's my friend!
There is nothing more fun. Was that in a legit newspaper?
Yeah, yeah. The
nothing
Inverness
more fun than that.
Yeah. It's. I'm sure it's pronounced Inverness or Inverness.
It's Inverness.
Yeah. Well, in this story, the witnesses to the unexplainable phenomenon were an unnamed couple. They said that they were standing on the shore when the woman saw, 3/4 of a mile away, what she at first believed to be ducks fighting on the water. But after her eyes came into focus, she said that she saw a creature that resembled a whale rolling and plunging for fully a minute.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned her eyes getting into focus. This is like a real question, I guess. How about everybody's bad eyesight?
Yeah, that's definitely a part of it.
Don't ruin the magic now.
Okay. I'm just saying maybe nobody
right
could
now,
see.
For the man's part, he only saw splashing, but the reporter who wrote the story saw an opportunity and added the appropriate embellishments.
Look at that.
He immediately tied the story to that of the three young anglers, but he changed the angle of the first story. The first story, when it was written, was, we have no idea what it was that we saw. But when he wrote this second story, it changed to, the boy saw an unknown creature that may indeed have been a monster.
And again, this is the Zabrowski parable. Just because if it's both true and unentertaining, is it worth it?
Well,
when it's more important for
important.
Something to be mostly true and have the spirit of the freedom of truth, but then be ensconced inside of something that's a little bit more
like a lie.
Then you say a story sometimes tells the truth better than facts.
Well, I think
gonzo journalism.
The problem is it was published in a newspaper that was like right by like everyone else died of syphilis today.
And it was like, I had to find something to break the monotony of the Black Plague, every single month when Scottish magazines have to do, why are our knees so ugly?
Right.
And
what's
other,
the centerfold?
And other kilt mysteries.
Oh my goodness. I love a good Scottish centerfold. They would spray musk on the pages, so you really felt like she was there.
Oh, I like a bush hair fragrance.
Then the writer added the detail that this quote unquote fearsome looking monster had been seen in Loch Ness for generations, despite the fact that the only encounters with anything strange before 1930 had been a dead whale and a couple of ponies.
Well, because the story kind of has, there was one story of the Lambton Worm, which is a story from a very, very long time ago. That's another one of those that it became a very massive story about cryptids. And it was a very, like this idea of, you know, it's a creature that lives underneath a well, essentially a water well, and then it climbs up and it fucks with people and you have to go kill it. But the story is really just about a guy found a big snake. And it scared him and he threw it in the well. And then it became a very big, important tale to all of Ireland and Scotland at the time. And
I mean, it makes sense. Yeah, scary as hell.
It's fun to do. A big old snake is scary, especially to a fucking Anglo-Saxon in the middle of the bog.
Oh, my. I'm just so happy we have faucets now. Running water, we take it for granted.
It's pretty
really do.
It's pretty
awesome.
Convenient. Yeah.
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 Yeah. It really is.
It really is. Every time I watch Naked and Afraid, I'm just like, thank God. Thank God I didn't voluntarily go on that show.
Bear Grylls, by the way, when he drank the water from the elephant shit, I mean, I don't even know if that was real elephant shit. Do you see that? When or bear shit. He squeezed it and put it in his mouth. Did you see that?
No.
You guys didn't watch
didn't
that?
See that.
Mm-mm, no.
Nope. Didn't see that.
Really? You didn't no, see that? Sorry, it was no, big. No. It made this big news.
It's not relatable, you know? But to you, it to is. Us,
no, it's very similar to Naked and Afraid. He squeezed shit for water.
I'm a bunyip.
Well, nevertheless, the story caught on, but the embellishments of the Inverness Courier weren't the only factor. According to some researchers, the real culprit behind the popularization of the Loch Ness Monster was none other than King Kong.
We did it again!
What? King Kong?
Yeah. See, King Kong was released in Scotland in 1933, right around the time that sightings of the Loch Ness Monster began. If you'd never seen the original, one scene features a long-necked monster in the water plucking men from their boats and killing them. It's cool. Very memorable.
Dude, it's so sweet. I fucking love that whole when they go to Skull Island. That's a great sequence in the original King Kong.
That's awesome.
This creature, which had a small head, a long arched neck, and a rounded back, then crawls out of the water to reveal itself to be not an aquatic dinosaur, but rather a quadrupedal brontosaurus.
Whoa.
And lo and behold, the next sighting of the Loch Ness Monster, which occurred just weeks after King Kong was released in Scotland, featured just such a creature. On August 4th, 1933, the Inverness Courier, your number one source for Nessie news, published a letter from a Londoner named George Spicer. Spicer claimed that while driving along the shores of Loch Ness, a long-necked, round-backed dinosaur of the Brontosauri persuasion lumbered across the road 50 yards in front of him, carrying a dead lamb in its mouth.
That's fucking sweet.
Very cool.
Yeah. Now, as far as we know, this is the only terrestrial Loch Ness monster sighting, but this is also the first story that reported the creature as long-necked. From there on out, though, the Loch Ness Monster has almost always been reported as long-necked, despite the fact that even serious Nessie believers dismiss George Spicer's story.
Because even the plesiosaur, they don't think necessarily had that long of a neck. But this is the
what
type
would they
of
know?
This is the type of like sightings that I love.
What do paleontologists know?
What do they know?
They do makeup. I don't feel like they do.
They fill in the bones.
They just bones. They pile them in different shapes.
They always put a big cock on them.
But that's what you're seeing. There's your magazines.
This is
big
weird.
Cock Stegosaurus Monthly.com.
Oh my goodness.
But these are my kind of like my favorite types of like weird sightings. When people see dinosaurs or people see like pterosauruses or plesiosaurs, like there was something about that because there's no evidence that shows that any dinosaurs made it to our time period. There's really nothing except for the cockroach, the alligator, and the shark, right? Which
birds.
Essentially like we see these things. Yes, yeah, some birds, but birds changed because birds used to be dinosaurs.
That's what they say. So
ferns, there's some ferns that also survived.
But I love that. That's the one thing, like the kind
what
of
about
weird
an alligator?
Basis. That's what I did say that. Yes, I did say that. God, I just feel
hippo
like your father.
Was
I feel like your father. I just
what else do you think?
Benjamin, I don't understand why you won't listen to me. Yeah. I don't get why you won't get into the basketball. But I love that. I love that weird thing because they try to make it like hingeable. Like they're trying to make it a little bit like, well, maybe he is seeing a dinosaur. Maybe that kind of shit. They try to tie it all in.
Mm-hmm. And furthermore, King Kong also made the Loch Ness Monster more believable. Even though the special effects look goofy now, King Kong was so real and nightmarish in 1933 that people left the theaters with panic attacks.
Cool.
And seeing the monster on screen, of course, made it easier for them to imagine seeing something similar. And as it turned out, George Spicer, the man who wrote the Brontosaurus letter that introduced long-necked dinosaurs into the Nessie legend, fully admitted in an interview conducted months after the sighting that he had indeed attended a showing of King Kong just before driving around the Loch that day.
I mean, hey, whatever. That doesn't necessarily mean it didn't exist or it didn't happen.
Parallel thinking.
Man, I do. When was the last time you were really shook or scared by something? It's been so long.
I saw a thing the other night. But again, most of the times I'm really, really scared. It's
you
late
saw something
night,
in the sky?
But it's just because I'm high.
Ah.
And also we have a lot of, you know what's scarier to me? It's like last night we had some form of murderer was like in our neighborhood or something.
What?
And so the helicopters were really, really low last night. So that thing where, so I went
you
outside.
You know it was some form of murderer?
Well, you know, they're looking for somebody really hard. The spotlights were out. And so I went out and it was fun. I waved at the helicopters.
You
and
did?
Stuff, but that's
it's
scary.
Not me you're looking for. For.
Not me, I
could have done without that. You're really actually annoying us.
I pay your salary. They love that.
Yeah, they love it.
Okay, cool. Did they find him?
I don't fucking know.
Well, I should have. Okay.
Now, concerning the locals of Loch Ness, they were just as surprised as anyone else to discover that this so-called monster had, quote-unquote, existed for generations. But you better believe that once they discovered that people were willing to come to Loch Ness just to try and see the monster, mm-hmm. the whole country leaned into it.
Yeah. And that's where the real blood sucking started the tourism industry.
But, you know, this is where they get criticized and cryptozoologists get criticized because this idea that they make all this fucking money.
Oh, the stacks
they
of
make
money.
So much money I from know. This. But they don't. They don't really. But also, Loch Ness, it became like, what you need, that's how they lived.
I remember
that. It's their money.
Even before the Loch Ness Monster, it had already been like a pretty popular vacation spot. Like Englishmen used to love going to Loch Ness for a vacation. This just gave people a reason to go. And then once they got there, they're like, this place is really nice.
SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Let me know, is Loch Ness actually a nice vacation spot?
Because I've heard it's great.
Like I've just never heard of a magazine celebrating the beaches of Scotland.
It's Marcus nice for a different reason. You're not going for a tropical time. It's cold and it's windy.
You're going so you can feel strong around all the brittle British.
Actually,
you can
that's
be a
true.
King again.
You show up with a spray tan on, you just look like an Italian ambassador.
Oh my goodness.
Worldwide tourism took such a jump in the 30s that the Scottish Travel Association was actually accused of inventing the entire story themselves. The person who levied this accusation was, of all people, Nazi propaganda minister Joseph Goebbels.
Oh, Jesus.
Seems wait. Like a lot. I was not expecting him to show up.
No. Hold on a second.
Apparently not busy enough with World War II, Goebbels took a break in 1940 to denounce Nessie as an invention used to dupe tourists in an article that he published for the Hamburger Illustrated, which I think translates to Hamburger Illustrated.
You were talking about centerfolds earlier. That would be fun. Technically, I follow several Hamburger Illustrated accounts on Instagram
where it is
just like luscious pictures of burgers. I didn't know Goebbels would also be so into hamburgers like that. It kind of makes me upset.
No, I mean, he's definitely the, you know.
I know it's the city Hamburg. It must be the city Hamburg, obviously.
It must. Of course, where the hamburger did originate from. No ham in the hamburger. It's actually beef. Interestingly enough, another Nazi that I. It is interesting that Goebbels is always the king of no fun. Can't we have one thing? One thing. What about Nessie? What's wrong? I mean, really, though, what's wrong with believing in Nessie?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but it incensed Goebbels.
Goebbels? Goebbels?
Well, he said that, you know, the fact that the British people believed in the Loch Ness Monster was proof that the British were stupid and couldn't possibly win the war. Yeah. I also think it's interesting how all three of us pronounced Goebbels differently.
Because I don't know how it's pronounced. So I just make it up and I stick with one and then I change it if I want to.
Yeah, we did Goebbels, Goebbels, and Goebbels.
Goebbels, which I don't think
Goebbels is correct.
No, Goebbels, that was his son that kept in the basement.
I thought that Goebbels was just the most serious Teletubby.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Well, then the Italians jumped on the Nessie bandwagon.
What?
And Mussolini's newspaper, Popolo d'Italia.
What does that mean?
I mean, the popular Italian.
Oh! Roberto Benigni.
Yes, he was like the Italian
people or something. I'm sure that's what it means. Yeah. I have no fucking clue.
I don't speak Italian.
The spaghetti times. Why not? Have fun with it.
Well, the Italians, with all seriousness, claimed that the Loch Ness Monster had been killed by an Italian bomber during a raid of the UK, and that the Italian pilot had himself seen Nessie's dead body floating in the loch.
Hey, I seen it. It wasn't on a loch.
Yeah. It was a monster.
It was.
Meanwhile, like, fucking...
just dumping a bunch of meatballs and marinara sauce on it.
The power of the Italian Air Force. Because everybody always says that the Italians... they're warcraft.
Oh, they don't love to just powerful. They don't love to just fuck and eat and drink wine. No, they love to fight.
They love war. Yeah. In Italy.
Well, the Daily Mail, of course, responded to the story in a cheeky fashion, congratulating the Italians on, quote, one of Italy's very few undisputed naval victories.
Ooh, that's burn how, from the fucking snide English.
Burn. Jeez.
But the Loch Ness Monster would not have reached international fame if not for the efforts of one man, Marmaduke Wetherill.
Yep.
Woo!
Real names.
Marmaduke.
Mm-hmm. That's a real name.
I love it.
Mm. By the end of 1933, the Daily Mail decided to join in on the fun by dispatching Marmaduke as a special investigator.
Marmaduke?
Branding him... that's what I said. Marmaduke Wetherill. That's his name.
His name is Marmaduke?
Yeah. His first name is Marmaduke. Yeah.
Yeah, you call him Dookie for short. Old Dookie Wetherill.
How did I not hear Marmaduke the first time?
Because you don't listen.
No.
I know you said.
Because you're impervious. Yeah. You can't.
No, all I do is listen.
Yeah, Marmaduke Wetherill.
He was a softball pitch to you. He was the look on his face was him excited to tell you.
Well,
the
naturally, because I would have put in a joke about the dog. Yeah. I would have talked about Marmaduke.
Yeah.
My favorite cartoon of all time. Marmaduke, stop. It's a no spin zone when he's spinning all around.
No, we remember.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's 10 years old. 10 years of
doing
the show.
If I would have heard that, I would have said that at the time. It would have worked perfectly.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, the moment's passed, hasn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be talking about Marmaduke for a while.
Moment's so passed. no jokes coming for me.
But I'm just saying, if something springs to mind, there's going to be a lot of opportunities.
Got to fill, and we have to fill us with content is what he's saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, by the end of 1933, the Daily Mail decided to join in on the fun by dispatching Marmaduke as a special investigator, branding him as a big game hunter. In reality, Marmaduke was a film director and actor.
Yes, but the best part of being an actor is that depending on your hat, you can be anything.
Yeah.
So if you put on
you
like,
really?
You just become a cryptozoologist. You become a professional surgeon. You become a mayor of a small town.
How many things have actors ruined? Like how
most
many
things.
Civilizations?
Most
have been destroyed.
Well, drawing upon his experience in the world of stage and screen, Marmaduke arrived at the lock and almost immediately exclaimed that he'd discovered and cast in plaster the monster's footprints on the lock's shore. This was within 2 days.
Yes, it is, and you can count each one of its toes. A one, a two. There are two toes.
Whoa, just two. All right.
Right here.
Interesting.
I found it. Marmaduke's name.
You're
taking a shit as my game.
Described by a BBC correspondent as a, quote, dense, fruity, pachydermatous man in pepper and salt tweeds.
Purposefully, like, triggered. I'm, like, upset at that because I feel like technically that is me.
Dense, fruity, and pachydermatous?
What the hell is pachydermatous? It sounds like he hasn't taken a dump.
Pachyderm is a elephant, so I imagine they mean he is fat.
He's just fat.
They call him stupid, fruity, elephant-like man in tweeds.
So he's a big, gay, fat man.
Yes. I think so.
And he's on the hunt. And his name is Marmaduke, and he's hunting for the
Loch Ness. He loves a monster.
In those days, pachydermatous meant callous. Like, he's kind of a dickhead.
Oh,
thick skin.
I thought he was fat.
No, he was more my size. He was an actor. He wasn't a fatty Back in those days, there was only one fat actor, and that was Fatty Arbuckle.
Wow.
Everyone else looked like me.
We're about to get some fucking letters, dude.
Honestly, that's because actors didn't have enough money to eat back then. They were humbled, unlike now.
Well, Marmaduke certainly sold the idea that these footprints were genuine for a period of time. But when the cast of the footprint was sent to the Natural History Museum in London, it was discovered that the footprints were that of a hippo. Marmaduke had taken an umbrella stand fashioned from a hippo's foot and made the prints himself.
Oh.
And apparently the foot in question is still in the possession of his grandson.
Oh yeah, that's dope as hell. I'd love to have that hippo's foot, like the idea of like this Loch Ness foot. Because then you can take this Loch Ness foot table in.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it has to have some worth now, right? Just because of its history. I mean,
it's cool. Of course. But as soon as the prints were discovered as fakes, Marmaduke announced that the monster was a seal and promptly left the area.
So how I always get out?
Wow.
It's a seal!
He yes-handed his way out of the scene and just left a bunch of disheveled, sad people.
But his job was he did the show.
What was his job?
He did a show. He helped create. Yeah. He furthered along the Loch Ness monster story one step.
Why not alter the hippo footprint a little bit? I mean, it sounds like
he's an actor,
didn't try.
Not a fucking prop master.
He's
put a different toe in there
lazy.
Or something.
I mean, well, really, what his job was?
Oh, you know,
it'd
be creepy. Two heels, no toes. He could have just done that himself.
He could have.
Technically, you could probably start doing this around various lakes.
You could if I wanted to be a liar.
Well, I mean, I think what his job was there was to actually just sell a few copies of the Daily Mail. He wasn't looking for long term or anything like that. He's there on the dime of the Daily Mail so the Daily Mail can put Loch Ness Monster footprints found and they sell a couple of extra editions that day.
Oh, I see. It's a media lie.
Yeah.
It's always been there. They've always been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, it was much worse back then. So much worse. But this was not, however, Marmaduke's last contribution to the Nessie story, which brings us to the famous surgeon's photograph. Now, the surgeon's photograph, which features the shadowy outline of what could be a long-necked creature poking its head out of the water, is the image that most of us conjure up in our head when we hear the words Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, I thought surgeon's photograph. I thought we were talking about that one with the light bulb that was stuck in somebody's anus and they had to open that up.
Do you remember that? I thought that was for years.
I thought that was the surgeon's photo we were talking about.
Yeah. One jar.
You know, it was the one we used to show in the One For Us, One For You where the guy had the light bulb stuck in his fucking asshole and they had it nice and open.
Almost like it was a Cenobite. His butthole had the same face as a Cenobite.
It did his butthole looked very surprised.
Yeah. Well, of course, because it was thinking. That's why it had the light bulb on.
I'm not a lamp.
Yeah. Ooh.
Well, for decades, this was the photograph people pointed towards as definitive proof that cryptids exist, placing it right alongside the Patterson film that supposedly captured Bigfoot wandering around the forest. But in 1975, the Sunday Telegraph printed a short article in which Ian Wetherill, Marmaduke's son, revealed that the surgeon's photograph was yet another hoax perpetrated by Marmaduke.
Oh, Marmaduke's back at it again. He won't get out of the game because the game won't leave him.
Why even have kids? What is this? Is ridiculous.
Yeah, all he do is squeal.
He snitched on his own dad.
That's all they do is flip.
Marmaduke was long dead by this point.
Still.
Oh, okay.
I'll hold all of my fucking dogs.
You have not held out any of your father's secrets. You have not
no, of course I know.
You've told so many of your father's secrets.
I know everything about your dad. Technically, I know what I would perceive to be criminal police behavior.
Yeah. But the difference is that I'm a performer.
Yeah. Well, Ian himself built the model using a toy submarine and wood putty, and he and his father drove up to the lock themselves to take the picture. Once the picture was developed, it was handed to a collaborator named Maurice Chambers, who then gave it to a gynecologist named Robert Wilson. Mm-hmm. And Wilson, the titular surgeon, then sold the picture to the Daily Mail and presumably split the profits amongst the participants.
Well, the goal was that they thought it would appear to be far more it would be more legitimate if a doctor went and told them that, hey, I have this actual evidence of the Loch Ness Monster. And so, but they felt
it was
that
an OBGYN.
Yeah, it was it was a gynecologist, but they decided to tell the newspaper that it was a surgeon because they also felt that saying that this was a pussy doctor's picture of the Loch Ness Monster is what it would make him like not believable, which I actually think would make him more believable.
I know all about weird kind of wet things that are also dry.
Depends on what kind of mood.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
It's interesting to see how they change all that. But then when I found out it was a gynecologist, everyone started laughing.
I just feel so bad for every woman that had to go to any gynecologist.
Before 2005.
Yeah. Yikes.
Because then it's like, how many times you go to the gynecologist and the guy be like, all right, up on the table then. And then he pulls out a telescope from across the
room.
Pop the C's.
Oh, my. Well, this is a horrible doctor.
But the interesting detail about the confession is that when it was printed in the Sunday Telegraph in 1975, it didn't catch on at all. It came and went without any fanfare. Nobody knew about the picture except the people who read the paper that day. And it wasn't until 1990 that two researchers found the story and followed up. Unfortunately, by that time, both Marmaduke and Ian were long dead.
Do you mean unfortunately or fortunately for the new Loch Ness Monster researchers that they found this and they didn't have the direct people to say that they made it up?
Yeah, but Marmaduke's stepson, Christopher Sperling, confirmed that the photo was, quote, a load of codswallop and always had been.
A load of codswallop?
Wow. And he knew it. His grandfather's word.
Absolutely. Also, what does that guy know what a load of codswallop tastes like? Mm.
And he knew it for a fact because he had helped Ian to build the model.
Please.
So it was a direct person who was directly involved in the building of it.
We need to get back as a culture, as a people. Snitches get stitches. We need to bring it back.
No, we don't.
Yeah. Why not? Well, look at Tekashi 6ix9ine
about cryptids. I think that's where snitches get stitches. It gets to a point where, like, let us just have, or at least, like, give me a day. If it's Loch Ness Monster Day, let's not debunk them today. Like, if we're
not
at
today.
Loch Ness,
I
and
feel
we're
the same
on
way
the ship,
about,
and we're out there doing the fun touristy, let's all look for Loch Ness and eat a bunch of haggis dogs and shit like that. I don't want to debunk it that day.
Don't do it that day.
Give me till Wednesday.
Really, the version of the surgeon's photo that is usually printed in articles and books is tightly cropped. When you look at the picture in its entirety, there is no doubt that it is merely a tiny model no more than a foot long, adrift in a gigantic loch. Hmm. Now, when it comes to Nessie believers, the most common explanation when trying to tie it to the natural world is that the Loch Ness Monster is most likely a long extinct but very real creature called a plesiosaur.
This is like in the Bigfoot communities when they're like, it is a long, these are the people that say it is more of a human ape than not, right? Like this concept of like, it's out there. We have to find a way to figure out what it is. And so this is a theory that might stick because I used a Latin name for a lizard.
Oh, very cool.
Now this is a tempting hypothesis because we know for a fact that plesiosaurs did exist. But, you know, they went extinct 65 million years ago, but they did actually exist. We have records. Unfortunately,
every fucking decade, something pops back up. You never knew that you thought was dead. You know what I mean? Now we got those little oval sunglasses again. We're back to JNCOs. I saw JNCOs are being sold again.
I did see a pair of JNCOs. Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, there are many reasons why no plesiosaurs exist in Loch Ness in particular. They might exist elsewhere. Sure. I'm not discounting the existence worldwide. But The plesiosaurs were tropical animals in the deeper waters of Loch Ness, where Nessie would have had to hide to prevent from being constantly seen, never rise above 45 degrees Fahrenheit.
Ah, it's a Miami dinosaur.
Yeah, likes to have fun at Margaritaville.
Second, the loch only has a total fish population of 22 tons, which wouldn't even be able to feed one plesiosaur, much less an entire breeding population. And lest you say that Nessie is merely visiting, the River Ness, which links the loch to the sea, is so shallow in some areas that fishermen are able to walk across.
Maybe it takes a boat.
Maybe it does take a boat. Is it possible?
Maybe you called
it
an Uber. Have you thought about that? You thought about that? Maybe it takes a bucking. Maybe it takes a plane.
Well, that's ridiculous. What if it walks? Could it walk? Does it have little feet?
Hmm.
Does it?
No.
Does the walk? It could have little feet. What if it has little feet and it walks?
If it's a plesiosaur, it doesn't have little feet. It has flippers.
Yeah, it would have flippers. So, no, that's where you're also fucking wrong.
All right.
Third, plesiosaurs were not fish and therefore breathed air, which means that if even one plesiosaur did exist in the loch, it would need to surface several times an hour to catch its breath. Finally, the biggest strike against the theory is that the loch has been dredged multiple times and not a single plesiosaur bone, or in fact, any bone that might be considered monstrous, has been found.
I don't like all this, like, science.
Well, they have that and then they've scanned it multiple times and then they just haven't found it yet.
Not yet, right.
I think that's the key. Hasn't been found yet.
Well, it's obviously an introvert. It's very shy. It doesn't want to be bothered.
It could be a goth plesiosaur.
Yeah, maybe it moved on.
And speaking of attempts to find the creature, countless attempts and an untold amount of money has been spent to try and find the creature that, with hindsight, is now obviously a joke that just got way out of hand.
People need Nessie, though. They love
it's
Nessie.
It's good for the local economy.
It's good for the local economy. It is. It's good for their spirits. They love the mascot of Nessie. There's something about it. I think what it is that it makes Scotland more mysterious. When Stonehenge, when like the whole thing kind of came out that they kind of believe that it's just a calendar, that's disappointing. No one wants all this effort to go into a fucking calendar. I got a calendar with a fucking Garfield on it.
Right.
Bunch of cats, it's a fucking shit about a fucking calendar. Shit. I don't need to always be reminded of my appointments.
Well, it's just such a big calendar. They could have made it so much smaller.
Yeah, so you could see how they're like, but this allows us to add some more mystery, more mystery to Scotland than just does everyone not wear underwear underneath their clothes there.
Oh my goodness. Well, I want to live in a world where Loch Ness Monster exists, so therefore it does.
Great. Okay.
Block it out. You
block
and Q.
It out. Me and
I
Q.
Also think that Q believes in the Loch Ness Monster.
No, I think that Q is probably with Goebbels on this one.
Well, in 1934, a man named Sir Edward Mountain hired 20 unemployed men from the Inverness Labor Exchange to keep vigil around the lock for a month. And all they came away with were pictures of boat wakes, one photo of an ambiguous hump, and a month's worth of drinking next to the lake on a rich man's dime.
That's what I'm fucking talking about, bro. That's fucking horrible. Not only he's making jobs, he's making the funnest jobs in the world, which is just the label of cryptid stakeout. Is one of the funnest weeks you can have. That's fucking incredible.
A month of getting paid £2 a day just to sit and drink and take pictures.
I love it.
What'd you see today, McGinney? Nothing. Me too. Congratulations, I guess the job's got to continue to tomorrow.
It better.
In 1964, the constant camera approach was tried by the Loch Ness Phenomena Investigation Bureau. However, after several months of 24/7 filming and further years of on and off monitoring, nothing was captured. In 1969, the Loch Ness Phenomena Investigation Bureau tried a different approach and fielded a custom-made yellow submarine that they dubbed Viperfish.
Whoa. Wow. And they made it a snake, but it's a fish.
Yeah. And they armed it with something called a biopsy harpoon.
None of this is going to work.
That is not an exact instrument.
No.
I would actually be really upset if I went into my GP and I found out. It's like, all right, we're ready to find out if the skin cancer is actually spread. Let me get my biopsy harpoon.
Oh, no.
I have to fire it from the lobby.
You have to act like a whale. We're going to put you in this tub. Okay, harpoon him. Unfortunately, it's stage 4. Yeah, you're going to die in a month.
Unfortunately, you have to die of immediately terminal harpoon cancer.
Yeah, sorry.
Underwater photography was also useless because the waters of Loch Ness are so opaque as to be described as inky. Ooh. And not even sonar, which one would think could ferret out such a large creature easily, produced any results. Now, even with all these failures, there are still some who maintain that the creature is real. And when faced with the fact that the River Ness is too shallow for the visitation theory, they suggest that Loch Ness might be connected to the sea through underwater tunnels.
Ooh.
Could be.
They've been intriguing. Talking about this for a while. It is intriguing, sure.
It is intriguing. This was disproven in 1933.
Long time ago. Yeah.
What was that?
It was disproven in 1933, yeah.
By that frickin' dog? By that comic strip dog?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't believe him.
No, it's simple science. Loch Ness is 50 feet above sea level. If there were tunnels to the sea, Loch Ness would have been drained of all water millennia ago.
Why are we talking about all these tunnels in the sea then?
Simple science. What are you, a butler? This is ridiculous. Ain't nothing simple about it. The Loch Ness Monster is real.
It's gravity. It's just gravity.
Gravity?
How can something that's full of water be bigger than the sea level?
It is the sea. You can't tell the ocean, and you can't say, oh, you're above the ocean level. The ocean says, I am the level. I'm the level.
The lake is the level, right?
You try to argue with us now. Now the tables have turned.
Does the water evaporate? Water always goes down.
Okay, but despite the total... I don't know fucking water physics 100%. I trusted a scientist when he said it's 50 feet above water sea level, so it's going to all drain out if it's above sea level, if there's a tunnel to the sea.
That's his first mistake.
There's full fucking nerds that every day that go to some big fancy fucking college, and they get money to research things called imaginary numbers. Can you think about that? How about where's our tax dollars going?
I don't know how I'm not sure how you got to that tax dollars again.
I'm going out and I'm stopping the country.
All right, your
this
shirt is
how we got into the mess we're in today.
Because I'm Marmaduke.
But despite the total bust that is Loch Ness, there are plenty more lake monsters around the world that might not be so clear cut. And the vast majority of them are, for some reason, up in my neck of the woods. In New York State and Vermont, we have Champ, the great beast of Lake Champlain.
Champ is a beloved creature.
Yes.
In upstate New York. They love this lizard.
Yeah. Lake Champlain is 23 times larger than Loch Ness and was known as the sixth Great Lake for just 18 days until it was stripped of the title when it was discovered that Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy had hidden the redesignation in a routine funding bill.
That's called a responsible senator who is fighting for his constituents.
Yeah, I am the liquor. Leahy, that name has been ruined by Trailer Park Boys. I am the liquor. This is actually great, though. That's what I want my senators to be doing.
Honestly, you're trying to bump us up?
Absolutely. Get the tourism in there. It's a beautiful part of the country.
Now, the story of lake monsters living in Lake Champlain actually predates the arrival of Europeans in America, because local tribal legend has it that Champ is the result of a love affair gone wrong.
It's very romantic. It's a romantic story. Champ, you'll see, he's a lover.
Okay.
According to the legend, a Native American princess by the name of Bolwaga had two suitors, which naturally led to the spurning of one. The spurned suitor threw Bolwaga from a cliff into what is now known as Bolwaga Bay, and the princess drowned.
Like a fucking spear.
That's horrible. I hope the other person got revenge and killed that man.
Well, stricken by grief over what he had done, the suitor picked up two large stones and followed her into the depths.
Wait, what? He just killed himself afterwards?
Yep.
Yeah, he was...
No, thank you.
Yeah, he had so much grief. He was overcome with grief.
Bolwaga.
I guess he really did love her.
He did.
I guess.
The fates, however, changed him into a sea monster destined to mourn his love forever. And it is said that you can still sometimes hear the monster crying, Bolwaga, at dawn.
Morga! That's honestly, though, beautiful name.
Bolwaga. Bolwaga rolls off the tongue. It is kind of cute, but why would he be rewarded with eternal life as a cryptid?
He's not. Well,
it's so much more fun not to be dead.
No, think about this. I was thinking about Cogsworth the other day, the clock man from Beauty and the Beast, right? And the trauma that would come from Cogsworth, the clock man,
right,
being made into an inanimate object for 20 years.
Yeah, but at least a clock, it can stand tall. It knows what time it is.
But you are a sentient man. You're a sentient gay man trapped inside of a clock.
I don't think we know he's gay.
He acts like it.
Okay.
And then he goes, I don't know what he does.
I'm not sure.
But then he goes every day living this life, wanting to speak, wanting to yell, wanting to shit, wanting to come, wanting to take a walk, wanting to play a video game, can't do any of it.
No.
He's trapped in this form. Think about that man. Trapped in a lizard's body.
Honestly, the clock is not even the top 10 worst things. You could be the toilet. You could be one of the little teacups. Then you're in prison because you're just in a shell.
But they like to be used. They're used to be used.
No, who's going to be? The beast didn't use them. I mean, the beast used the toilet.
But the toilet at least serves a function. That's the whole song in that movie's about. It's about how they used to serve a function, and now they're just stuck in this home.
Yeah, I just feel like the clock isn't that bad. If I had to choose one, I would.
Yeah. Well, as far as sightings from Europeans go, it was said that an explorer named Samuel de Champlain, for whom the lake is now named, saw a 20-foot serpent swimming in the lake in 1609, thick as a barrel and sporting the head of a horse.
Cool.
This, however, was completely made up or mistranslated in 1970 for an article in a magazine called Vermont Life.
Oh, my goodness. Vermont Life. What is that? Just one page stuck together with maple syrup that you can never open.
It's a whole thing chastising you for buying the magazine because the magazine is a waste of paper. And you, and then it's just constant pictures of that Bernie Sanders meme.
Absolutely. I'm asking you to buy more flannel. Yep. They have full flannel sections.
It's a nice place.
Was it appropriate?
It's a peaceful place.
I love Vermont. Yeah. It's freezing, though. And they have a lot of guns.
Yes, they do.
They do.
Well, most likely, Champlain saw a 6-foot-long gar, which, to a European, would be a fearsome fish indeed. Do you know a gar?
Big fish.
I actually know what the gar is.
Big fish with a big sword at the end of its nose.
Yes.
Whoa. I'm looking at it now. Oh, yeah, this is crazy. Honestly, that's one of those things that's got the big clacking teeth. It kind of looks, it's got like an alligator mouth. That's kind of cool. I can see why you'd think that was a monster if you had never seen that thing before.
Can we also just say that we live with all the monsters?
No,
that's real. I'm looking at it. I'm like, that is real, right? Like,
that is the truth.
We do have monsters.
There are monsters. Like, you can still get a 15-foot fucking gator, and that is just
scary.
As real and as dangerous and as fucked up as any one of these fake monsters.
Okay.
Yeah. There were, however, other sightings in times of yore. In 1819, a stout seaman named Captain Crumb claimed to have seen a 187-foot-long black monster with a flat head rearing 15 feet out of the water.
And would you believe it, it was going in and out of my wife in a hotel room.
Oh my God, I think you've got some issues.
From what Captain Crumb said, it had 3 teeth, a white star on its forehead, and large eyes the color of a peeled onion.
He was an onion, I see.
I don't know. So his eyes were the color of a peeled onion.
My favorite flower.
That's an onion. Well, that's not that. That's actually disgusting.
At times, other people have reported Champ as gray, black, brown, reddish brown, or moss green. It's said to be drab or shiny, scaly or smooth, and sometimes slimy. It also possesses, depending on the sighting, fins, horns, elephant ears, moose antlers, glowing eyes, or alligator jaws. And alternatively, it also sometimes has none of these.
Something for everybody.
Or nothing for nobody.
Yep.
Look at that.
That's us.
That's cool. I love the idea of a sea creature with antlers. That is freaking trippy. Yeah.
But honestly, a sea creature would never have antlers.
No, it would not need
because
them.
Because it would drag in the water. Like, it would be difficult for them to swim in the water.
Yeah,
that's why a lot
no
of times these
fucking shit, Henry. I know that. Well, I can. You want me to go put an antler on a goldfish right now, see if it grows into him?
That'd be cool.
I'll get a game. I'll do it.
Shape-wise, it's been compared to a giant snake, a steam yacht, a horse, a manatee, a whale, or a gigantic Newfoundland Labrador.
Sure. Again, it literally is everything.
I guess so.
Most likely, though, Champ is logs.
Champ is logs.
What? Excuse
Champ
me?
Champ is logs.
Champ is logs.
Like Champ
this
is logs.
Monster is logs.
Yeah, the monster is logs.
The monster is logs?
It is monster.
The amount of anger and rage that I feel towards both of you. Henry, you're actually within striking distance. I just can't believe we're here.
You know what you do?
The monster is logs?
Every time you want to hit me, Kissel, you know what I suggest you do? Go outside of the door and just spin. It's kind of fun. It gets the rage away.
All right, let's take a 10-minute break. I am dizzy.
There was a lot of spinning and yelling.
Yeah, that was a lot.
That's fine.
However, in 2003, there was a compelling discovery.
Okay, give me something.
In that year, the Fauna Communications Research Institute, in conjunction with the Discovery Channel, recorded sounds in Lake Champlain that were similar to beluga whales or dolphins, even though neither are known to live in the lake.
Okay, now we're getting there. Do logs do that?
I don't know.
As far as evidence goes, a Vermonter named Dennis Hall claimed to have caught a baby champ in 1976. A champling, if you will.
Cute.
Which, to him, looked like a snapping turtle without its shell.
Sure.
Ooh.
The species was sent to a nearby university for study, but nothing conclusive was found, and the carcass ended up in a high school science lab, where it was quickly thrown away.
How'd you throw that away? That's so much fun to have. You can say you have a champling, you can name its name, you can have it stuffed, and that's like what a...
Should have thrown it away.
That's good shenanigans.
Absolutely.
I hate when people throw out good fucking shenanigans.
Why would they throw it away?
They probably got stinky. They probably forgot to put... It's a bunch of high school kids. They could have put it in formaldehyde, you know, sold it to the mud museum, but nope, it probably got stinky and you got thrown away.
All right,
that's how all those kids get thrown away as soon as they get stinky.
Okay.
But regardless of what's in there, if anything, Champ is technically a protected species, because in 1983, the New York State Legislature apparently felt it was necessary to pass a law protecting Champ from, quote, any willful act resulting in death, injury, or harassment.
Well, it's very important that they focused on that.
Oh, yes.
Because the crack epidemic, whatever. It's like, oh my God, I'm just so happy politicians have been stupid forever.
But you know, but in a way, isn't it like, I think there's a conflict, right? Because some people are super excited when the government says like cute things about cryptids, because in a way it kind of creates more psychic energy in the psychic bank account of these things existing. Because kind of the tulpa aspect of it, where more and more people talk about it, create genuine real rules surrounding it, eventually like you're creating space for it in your mind, and you kind of make this little weird world where it is real, because there is a piece of legislature that says the name Champ, the lake monster, on it.
Right,
that a bunch of people, we paid money to go legislate this, and they did it. So technically, we willed it into existence.
What about closing Rikers?
Only if it was filled with Champs.
Then we would pay attention to it.
Okay, I got you. I've
actually got kind of a feeling that this was probably targeted towards upstate yokels. Guys throwing dynamite into the lake.
Yes.
Guys shooting wads, just shooting shotguns
Stop
into the lake.
Killing everything in the lake. Literally just going out there. We are not a great lake for a reason, y'all. Because of our behavior, because of what we do, we can't call it great.
I love fishing by dynamite. People would just throw, like, they would plug in toasters to their yacht and throw it in the water.
Of course.
Try to kill it with it. We love to find new ways to kill things.
I went on a fishing trip with my dad's buddies once, and I will not lie and tell you they did not shoot a gun into the water at one point when we were on the boat.
Yeah, that makes sense. You actually probably wanted to do that.
They were visibly intoxicated.
Yeah. You're going to actually want to do that. They could have shot the boat. That would be bad.
Or each other.
Yeah,
actually, that's, you know what? Given the stories of your father and his friends, that's the most reasonable they have ever acted.
I was just glad they were all having fun.
Yeah.
And not mad. Because whenever we got surly, then it got scary.
Did you get to shoot the gun?
No, but my dad did take me to the range a couple of times. It was next to my comic book store. I used to have really fun mornings. We used to go and I get the new Spider-Man 2099, and then I get to go squeeze off a couple of rounds at the fucking range.
Okay.
That was dope.
All right. It's cool.
Well, Lake Champlain isn't just bordering New York. It also borders Vermont. And Champ isn't the only lake monster in Vermont. There's Seymour of Seymour Lake, Willie of Willoughby Lake, Miss Crystal of Crystal Lake, and of course, Memphrey, the monster of Lake The monster of Lake Memphremagog.
Now, I know that we're saying it wrong. We know it's not Memphremagog. We don't know. We don't know what it's pronounced, but you can tell us it.
It might be Memphremagog. Could be.
I can't see any other way to pronounce it other than Memphremagog.
Memphremagog. You know, they always have to be like, you know for a fact that it's the meme from a gig. And you're like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, you should have known that. Also, there is there's a crystal lake in Minneapolis that has a life-size Jason Voorhees on the bottom of it.
That's awesome.
It's very cool. Yeah.
That's great. Now, the sightings of Memphrey are pretty standard as far as lake monsters go, but the interesting thing about it is that there's a woman named Barbara Malloy who claims exclusive rights to the creature and is threatened to sue anyone who tries to even cover it.
What? Oh, I love that cryptids also has I want to see the manager women.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But is she talking about it, or does she just want it to be dead?
As of the writing of the book Lake Monsters, she was the head of the International Dracontology Society of Lake Memphremagog, although she wasn't the founder. The founder was actually across the border in Canada, a man named Jacques Boisvert, who billed himself in 1986 as the world's first and leading dracontologist. However, it seems as if some bad blood has developed between Barb and Jacques over the years, because even though the two of them collaborated in founding the International Dracontology Society of Lake Memphremagog, Jacques was indeed one of the people Barb threatened to sue for trying to cover Memphrey in 2003.
Okay, she also is, because she owns the word dracontology. Right,
yeah, that's the idea.
So you can't say the word dracontology.
You can own words like that?
You can look it up, but she doesn't understand is that you can't own the dragon spirit. Because if you ask Quora, Many people say they are dragons. I asked last night. There are people, this is true, because within Dracontology, there is, you know, we're now in other kin world, right? This idea that people think that they're dragons.
Sure.
Now, it is far more pervasive than it ever should have been.
How many people think like they're dragons?
I like that you use the word pervasive.
Yeah.
As if it is an epidemic.
It seems like it might be. How many people are we talking here?
I would say up to a dozen.
Up to a dozen. That's pervasive. That is pervasive.
That's a lot. Because it's stuff like here, because on this website, according to esotericonline.net, the only source I could find for Dracontology, because I think Barbara shut it all down. Do you have a personal spiritual dragon that helps guide you sometimes and dwells within you, ready to lend his courage and wisdom to you in a time of need? Keep the flame of the dragon as a light to see into the darkness and remember that there are always more than one side to every coin and every situation. Your dragon is a treasure, so keep it close to your heart and all, and it will help you guide you well. And I told Marcus, I sent him the pamphlet. You have to ask a bunch of questions. It's a questionnaire to tell you how much dragon you are, how unique you are.
What kind of dragon are you, Marcus?
I didn't answer all 100 questions.
100 questions?
It is a 100 question long survey. I can read you a couple of the, just a couple of the questions,
let's
Ben,
just
if you want to hear.
Sure, I'm interested.
And it's all, have you ever? Have you ever signed your human email with your dragon name?
Have you?
I have not done that.
All right.
Have you ever been called by your draconic name?
Yeah, your dragon name.
What is it? What is mine?
Yours probably like Draco Fortonimus.
Man, this is demeaning to me.
Then have you ever hired a typist because you can't type fast enough with talons?
With your talons. Because you can't type it. Because I have to put my talons away.
Have you ever read a description of a dragon in a book and thought, hey, I'm not like that. I'm this type kind of dragon. I'm a different kind of dragon.
Have you thought about it?
Now, that's more in the realm of possibility.
You know, I looked it up on Quora, which is the new Yahoo Answers.
I love Quora.
I love it. I just looked it up. It's like, do people think they dragons? So this came up. Many people say they are dragons. Okay. Are they really dragons? And then mysteriously.
What do they say?
Draco Silvis answered. He said, there are many who are dragons too. Yes, we dragons exist. We are the makers of the world. Peaceful, yet naturally predatory. Complete opposite of humans, which are prey, and now foe predators, and seek nothing more than to kill, unlike natural predators, who respect the life they take. I am really a dragon, while in this cursed body, my spirit speaks freely. I don't hold it back, so yes, although I have the body of this filthy, furless, and scale-lacking monster, it is only a puppet for my spirit. Once killed, my spirit will be let go. Mm. It can't be a forced killing. It needs to be natural. It's something called being Therian or otherkin.
Yeah, I love that guy. I love the way he stormed the Capitol. I love the way that he stole all of AOC's shoes and is coming in them right now. That guy's great. Good for him.
Well, for Barb's part, she claims to have seen Mimfrey on several occasions, including one time in which she thought she'd captured it with a camera, but had instead taken a picture of a swimming moose.
It's a goddamn moose! I was so excited to show that we're a Mimfrey. I knew I saw him. I knew that nobody else had seen him. Oh. So I went and I took a picture of him. And would you believe the moose in the picture?
I love that. Vermont, the land of the swimming moose.
Yeah, but very concerning cool. Mooses, perhaps North America's most famous lake monster is Canada's Ogopogo.
Yes.
Second only to the Loch Ness Monster, Ogopogo has been seen over 330 times since the 1700s. However, Ogopogo seems to be a much friendlier, almost social creature, who is sometimes seen with the smaller creatures dubbed Ogopups.
Oh, that's fun.
But like Champ, the local tribes have a tragic tale to go along with Ogopogo. This one is not romantic. This one is merely murder.
Why always tragic, though?
Because they suffered a lot. The indigenous people suffered a lot.
Well, yes, they did. We need to focus on the indigenous people much, much more in this country. Yes.
I mean, not many stories come from I had a good day, you know?
Not
anymore. Yeah, they can.
Yeah, John Krasinski.
He sold $20 million.
$20 million.
And he has not released an episode yet.
Nope.
Yeah. There's no good news.
Yeah, no, not at all.
All right.
Well, according to the legends, Na'itaka, as the natives call it, was at one point a man named Kel'oniwan, who committed murder most foul by beating an old man to death with a club on Rattlesnake Island.
Depends on what the old man did.
If it was a murder most foul, he would have killed him with a chicken. Come on. This is why I'm not armed. I would shoot. I would shoot you right now, Henry, and probably try to shoot Marcus. You know, and probably if it was a murder most foul, he'd probably try to hit him with a pigeon. I could put any bird in there.
Duck.
Yeah, if it was a murder most foul, I probably would try to hit him with
pigeons. Are foul?
Yeah, they are. They're a bird.
And not all birds are foul.
No,
are they?
I have become derailed in my own mind. I'm not sure of anything.
I think that all birds are foul.
Anyway. We can't stop to look at it.
Don't look at it.
I will not.
We'll answer it on Side Stories.
Well, as punishment, the gods made the murderer a restless creature who would forever haunt the scene of the crime. Uh-huh. Since then, Naitaka guards Rattlesnake Island, extracting a toll of gold, tobacco, or animal sacrifice from anyone looking to make the journey.
Cool. That's dragon behavior.
He got rewarded.
That is dragon behavior. Yeah.
He murdered a bunch of people and then got to be a cryptid that was forced to be fed and given tobacco. Otherwise, he was going to murder again. This is a reward.
Okay, so all of this is an extension of the fact that you just wish that you didn't have to work. You know what I mean? You have any idea how hard it is to be a cryptid? You just are. Maybe it's because how many people have called you a Bigfoot or have said this about you that you just have this idea that living in a lake with no responsibilities is the most incredible fate for anyone.
Number one, you have to swim every day. You don't think that that's easy? That's very hard to do.
It's true.
That's very hard. And you have to eat? No, you do have a lot of responsibility. You're the star. You think that people are going to Nessie to hang out with the person who owns the store that has like the Nessie trinkets? They want to hang out with Nessie.
That's true. He does make a point.
The cryptids are the star.
They're the Drake.
Yes, they are the Drake.
But what's interesting about Naitaka is that a petroglyph from 1700 BCE depicts a vertically undulating water monster that is remarkably similar to the descriptions made by people who claim to have seen Ogopogo in the 20th century. Almost 4,000 years later.
Whoa! Undulating.
But honestly, that is the end of our tale of lake monsters. I do think it's interesting up to a point how many people have talked about seeing things in the water.
Yeah.
But I think that it's got a lot to do with it's truly the frontier we can understand.
Undiscovered.
Where, like, we can't understand, like, while we know space is a concept. Space is a concept, man.
No, space is very real. I think we know space exists.
But we don't know what it's like to go to space as humans. The majority of us don't know.
Yeah. We know how to go to the moon and back, but that's it.
But, I mean, like, we don't see the moon. We don't leave in it. We don't leave in the shuttle.
No, we don't do the moon. They won't allow us on the moon. Apparently, we're talking bears.
Yes, but you can see in the water, and the mysteries in the water.
But we don't discover much with the water.
But I'm saying those are the places
where
we could
have access to. I think we know more about space than we do the ocean. I'm actually completely in a disagreement with you.
Are all birds foul?
Honestly, can we figure that out? Are all birds foul?
I think that we got ourselves to a point where we are so dumb that we have hurt the next series we're going to do.
Honestly, folks, you got to have a little palate cleanser for your brain as well. And lake monsters, again, as I said in this episode, it's more fun to believe that they exist. And we don't know what's down there. And we don't know if the bloop is getting bigger and bigger because we keep on feeding it plastic. And maybe it loves plastic bags. And if it does, it's really, really, I hope it does because it has a lot of them that it can eat.
But also, we think that there's just plenty of monsters that are in the water that you can see that we know about. That are scary.
It's
so
horrifying.
Yes, over time, I imagine some people did see a great white shark or saw a big thing and they thought it was a lake monster. Or they did see a big, massive super squid and they thought it was a monster.
Yeah,
so these
they
animals,
are monsters,
they
aren't
are
they?
There. I don't
Marcus, what do you think? How scared are you of the of water? Are you super scared? Because you're a land-based animal. You're a Texan.
No, I love water.
You like water, okay.
Yeah, I love water. No, I grew up near a lake. And I'd spend most of my childhood in a dirty, brown lake, Lake Stamford. It was fucking filthy. You couldn't see a foot in front of your face. I love that place.
Well, that explains why you like it so much.
I am not a lake
so
guy.
So nice sounding.
Like, honestly, I'm not a lake guy. I like a nice beach.
I like rivers. I like moving water.
I specifically only enjoy the Gulf of Mexico.
That's just your Quabo Wabo spirit.
I mean, it's the truth. He's like, man, you got that fucking water like glass, so you can sit out there with the fucking Corona, or you could sit out there with the fucking Paradiso, and they don't fuck. It don't even get bobbled too much while you're laying out there in a tube, man. You're spitting there, you're listening to some fucking Hagar, man.
Have a good time. Whew. Well, we hope everyone had a good time listening to this episode. It was certainly educational in its own fun way, because, you know, the interesting thing about myths, it keeps us going as a civilization. We've had myths forever, and what more fun to keep the kids from drowning than telling them there's a demon in the water.
I mean, that's how you keep them out.
In the I mean, that's basically probably what all this is, right? Like, parents be like, don't go in there. There's a monster in the water, so don't drown. It's probably
as far as how the folklore develops, that's 100% where it all comes from.
Pretty much always it's try to keep your kids alive.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Don't hop on a strange horse.
It's especially if it's sticky. And again, that's why your grandfather's not allowed over here.
Yeah, because if the horse is sticky, that horse got into the soup.
Oh, my God.
Guys, this next series we're about to do is it's the aforementioned, many mentioned times, the Big Redo series. We're very excited for you to be experiencing it.
Yep, that's right. We'll be doing Lake Monsters again next week.
And again, we're doing actually Lake Theory. That's a big year. This is the year of the Lake Monsters.
Lake Theory.
Yeah, Lake Theory. We're doing Lake Theory for the next 10 episodes.
Oh, can't
so
wait.
It's going to be huge. No,
we lost a bet, and now we're stuck.
We're the Lake Show.
We got a big message from Spotify. Swedes love stories about seaweed, and that's all we're doing from now on. It is just for the Spotify people in Europe. But no, guys, we're so excited for the next topic because it is near and dear to my heart. I cannot fucking wait because I already feel more powerful.
Wow, you do. I don't know if that's a good thing.
I already feel more powerful because it's all about finding our true will. And all of the noise that we create all day get in the way of our true will and harnessing our true will. And sometimes all it takes is a little bit of mescaline and power bottoming.
Yeah, a lot of anal sex.
A lot of anal.
Also, we weren't able to do the book tour as of right now. That has been canceled.
We're not upset about it. I fucking love it. Vacation time.
You've been screaming about that, how you were like, I'm so happy to be home.
I'm so excited to not go on that tour and not see all of our friends on the road and not have all the fun and not do all that. It's going to be great.
That's right.
I've let it go. And I've put it behind me.
Yes,
that's very good.
That's it.
So Marcus has done a very good job.
The new year has begun. The new year began February 1st. I've let it go and put it behind me.
Yep. Okay, very good.
At peace.
Not at all a problem. Everyone is totally mentally stable.
I am now.
As long as you keep on screen.
This is me stable.
I believe both of you. And that is what it is. And we love you guys. We can't wait to see you. And later on this year, we're just going to see you. I don't care.
Next week, we have an announcement that will be made that you will see. And we're going to start because, to be honest, we are getting there. We're getting there. It's almost done. Thank you. Straight up, just want to say thank you to everybody who stuck through us.
Stuck through us. Oh, my goodness.
Everybody has stuck with us this last year. And the amount of incredibly nice messages and the amount of support that we have gotten from you guys and how it makes us want to work harder and make sure that we are doing, like, we're entertaining your fucking ass, but also educating your fucking asses. Edutainment is at its highest level.
You want to say that after we just did Lake Monsters?
This episode is different. This is a palate cleanser,
right? Because if someone writes their thesis and credits us for this, they shouldn't be graduating college.
But it depends on what they're going to school for.
No, well, that's true.
But we want to thank you guys, and we can't wait to see your fucking faces so soon.
Absolutely, and we will see you soon. Keep on supporting all the shows here on the Last Podcast Network. Kind of Fun, we're talking wrestling and sports. Top Hat, we talk politics. Wizard and the Bruiser, they talk entertainment and nerd culture. And of course, Page 7, all thing actors and actresses.
And the big thing too is we got two new podcasts coming to you in the next month. We have got a show called Someplace Underneath. Will be a brand new podcast. It's about missing people. Very, very excited. And then we are doing Holden McNeely and I have listened to the crowds.
If you listen to the crowds, you guys would probably commit suicide.
And we know that you guys are interested in traversing the faint within a faint within a faint. That is the world of Dune. And Dune Cast will be coming to you March 8th. And I will tell you what, my brain is deeply split right now between the world of Dune and our next topic. And I think it's making me better.
Yeah. Wow. I'm actually going to, you know what, Marcus? We're going to take that information Henry just said. Weird, those eggshells, put them on the ground and let's walk on them.
Well, you know,
let's walk on eggshells all week. Whoa, see?
You know what's been helping me is that I do the reading in the bath. Now that I've been drawing baths for myself.
That's all I've ever got a lake monster. All right. I know no one wants to hear about how you draw a bath for yourself. God, that's disgusting.
Yeah. And also don't forget about No Dogs in Space.
Of course.
The entire first season now available for listening on all platforms.
People are loving it. We got new merch for that fucking bullshit. He's already agreed. He said that he is struck a truce with me and Kissel, and he is going to be doing the Marshall Tucker Band first up in the next series. And we just want to say thank you guys so much for your support and helping us.
Starting with Marshall Tucker Band, moving on to the Oak Ridge Boys.
Yep.
After that might be Bob Seger. I don't know if we can handle Bob Seger yet.
Honestly, Bob Seger would be amazing.
Yeah, but definitely
people call him a sellout,
Arkansas.
But
oh, yeah.
People called Bob Seger a sellout?
Because of Like a Rock.
He just, like God, don't even. All right, I'm actually going to get upset. Yeah, but he just, I mean, honestly,
I mean, he got
you
lucky.
Can sell one song.
Bob Seger was for the working man. Bob Seger was the Midwest Bruce Springsteen.
He really was. And Bruce Springsteen.
He's the Milwaukee South Jersey. What was his name? The other guy.
Bon Jovi?
Yep.
Tom Petty?
I'm just taking that. That's where you have to end.
Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
Oh, hail Gain.
Magustalation.
Hail him. Hail me. Hail us.
Yeah, hail him is too, that's scary. You
can
put anything in there. Yeah.
Anybody in there.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.